Now we're going to turn this morning in our Bibles to the book of James and chapter 5. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Amen, and God will bless the reading from his inspired word. The evil rich have always been with us. That's what this section of James 5 is about. The evil rich. God commands them to weep and howl for the miseries that are and shall come upon them. Those who factually have gotten riches in a corrupt way, and those corrupt riches, God says, will be an inanimate witness against them in the day of judgment. And those riches are currently consuming them as would a fire. And then in verses 4 to 6, there are the proofs of the evil rich. Or put in a better way, perhaps, if you want to think about verses 1 to 6, it's like a court case. When people are charged with a particular crime in verses 1 to 3, and then the evidence of their guilt is presented in verses 4 to 6. The evil rich are guilty of being evil rich. And the evidence or the proof is in any one of these three ways, or a combination of the three ways even. The evil rich are seen to be evil rich, firstly in verse 4 that we looked at 2 weeks ago, by the fraudulent keeping back of wages from manual workers. The example of that is the United Kingdom government and many employers in our land. The second evidence is presented against the evil rich, their sin is in verse 5 then, a living for pleasure and extravagance on the earth, being wanton, wasteful, selfish. The examples are United Kingdom citizens and politicians. Hedonism is the philosophy of life. Psychological hedonism is what it's called, is the philosophy of life of the United Kingdom and indeed the Western world. What does it mean? It simply means you live for pleasure. That's it. Materialism combined with that, the love of things. And there you have the entire philosophy of the Western world, the average person in it. Pampered like poodles, having every sick whim catered for in the extravagant luxury. Have you heard of the Bohemian Grove? It's a place in America where the big redwoods grow. It's a camp. Every year, for 2 to 3 weeks, politicians from all over the world go there for a break. Obama was there, Blair was there. All different prime ministers, presidents, all the famous people from around the world, pop stars and everything. The press aren't allowed in. But one Christian did sneak in with a camera. He filmed them worshipping Baal, a massive altar of Baal one night, the chanting and the screams and the fire burning. And it's well known, oh, even the local townspeople say, even though no one else is allowed in, but prime ministers from the United Kingdom and France and presidents of America, they bring in an awful lot of sodomite prostitutes into that camp during those 2 weeks. But it's all hush hush. It's on YouTube, you can watch it. Every sick whim catered for, living for pleasure and luxury. Then in verse 6, we have the final proof or piece of evidence that is symptomatic of the disease of the evil rich. And that is the one point I want to give you this morning. Injustice in judgment. Verse 6. Injustice in judgment. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. What do the words mean? The word condemned means you have pronounced guilty. It's a judicial word. You have pronounced as guilty. And it's an aorist, active, indicative, which means they've done it in the past. They've pronounced guilty. They've actively done it. And it's a simple statement of fact that they have given evidence of a certain person as being guilty. They've pronounced them guilty. You've condemned and killed, says, to do murder, slay the just. What a contradiction. Because the word just means the righteous. The right. The guiltless, the Greek word means. You have pronounced as guilty the guiltless. And he doth not resist you. The guiltless do not, they do not set themselves in battle array against you. They do not oppose themselves actively and deliberately against you, evil rich. When you put it all together, you can see that what this verse says about the evil rich. They show great injustice in judging against righteous, guilty, or right people. And in some cases, it leads to murder, which is what the kill means. As we are very well aware from the whole of church history and the whole idea of martyrs, there is in the evil rich a condemnation of people who have not set themselves against others in the present, in the active sense. They don't deliberately set themselves against anybody. The evil rich, brethren, are characterized by giving judgment against good people. Right people, moral people. The Greek word for righteous can also mean morally upright. Is one of the meanings. Who have not, morally upright people who have not went into battle against the evil rich. And what's the teaching? That's just what the words mean. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Let's not get caught in what's called over-contextualization. That's the get-out clause of many evangelicals today when it comes to the New Testament especially. Oh yes, they don't deny it, but they over-contextualize it, which means you must have it in context. Of course you must. But you can over-contextualize. You say, but this is Jesus is only talking about those who are being condemned and put to death. No, it's not. It's not. You can over-contextualize. Oh, it's only talking about a very specific, narrow case here. It's not. Of course, putting the righteous to death is condemnable. It's wrong. Of course. But long before that, if you just look at the verse, the process of so-called justice that finds the righteous guilty and condemns the righteous, that is the sin of the verse. You have condemned the just, which then leads in some cases in severe persecution to death. But you have condemned, you have pronounced as guilty the guiltless, the just. That's the sin. So what this verse 6 is driving at is that the evil rich are characterized by injustice. Their lack of justice when it comes to judging right and wrong. This is the sin condemned by God in verse 6. Injustice. A perversion of justice by the rich for ulterior motives. Let me give you two quotes from two Puritans to back up what I'm saying. This is the right way to take this verse. Listen first to Thomas Manton. Very relevant for today. Listen to this. This is what he says in his commentary about this verse. Okay, verse 6. God taketh notice of the injuries done to his people. Now listen to this. God takes notice of the injuries done to his people under the form of legal procedure. Not only of open violence. And then he quotes Psalm 94 and 20, which says, shall the throne of wickedness have fellowship with thee, which frameth wickedness by law? End of quote in the Psalm. Martin then goes on, God taketh it more heinously when public authority, which is the defense of innocence, is made a pretense for the oppression of the innocent. That's the end of his quote. Now, why does he quote Psalm 100 or Psalm 94? Because the evil rich frame evil by law. They make it legal. And then they say, but you're breaking the law and we'll prosecute you. But they're framed evil by law. God taketh notice of the injuries done to his people under the form of legal procedure. Oh yes, there's the form of legal procedure. They make evil laws. There's the form. It says they condemned them before they executed them. There's the form of legality. But the evil rich make evil laws. They frame wickedness by law, says the Psalm. And then they use that law to oppress God's people. Let me actually turn over to the Psalm and I'll show you. It's very relevant concerning James. 94, 16 to 23. Let me read. We look at the context. Psalm 94, 16 to 23. Listen to this. Not read out the whole Psalm, but you'll get the picture. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, says the psalmist, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity, the workers of sin. The psalmist then says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Then he says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Who? They that frame wickedness by law condemn innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense and my rock, my God. He is my rock and my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and they shall, shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. And that's the way it goes. From wickedness framed by law, it then goes to gathering together to condemn the innocent blood. Well, that's what James is saying. You have condemned and killed the just. You have found the innocent guilty. Evil rich. It's a symptom of the evil rich. Injustice. Under the pretense of legality. A perversion of justice is the sin of the evil rich in this text. A twisting of justice to condemn righteous people. Isaiah 5 speaks about a similar thing. I'll not turn it up. Woe to them that put evil for good and good for evil. They count those that are actually good and good things evil. But the very evil, they say, that's good. Perversion, the worst of sins, same thing. They twist justice and they condemn the innocent and let the guilty go free. Matthew Henry says concerning James 5 and verse 6, you have condemned and killed the just. He says this, they pretend to act legally. Indeed, they condemn before they kill. There's the sham, I put in brackets there, of legal procedure. There's a sham legal procedure. Matthew Henry says, they pretend to act legally, indeed they condemn before they kill, but unjust prosecutions, whatever colour of law they may carry in them, whatever colour a lawman makes up, will come into the reckoning when God shall make an inquisition. End of quote. What a day it will be for the evil rich. What a day it will be when those who have framed evil by law in Northern Ireland in Stormont, of which you have the emails from so-called evangelical Christians to prove it. Surely you wouldn't expect us to break the law of the land. They have framed evil by law. What a day it will be when those who pretend to act legally will be called by inquisition to God. What they've really done, what the evil rich really do, is condemn the just under a pretense of legality. Because the truth of the matter is, brethren, they're absolutely perverse in their judgment. And that's the sin of James 5:6. That's the sin. Injustice in a legal system perverted by the evil rich and manipulated by the evil rich to condemn the righteous for reward. Proverbs says an awful lot about this sin. Subpoint C, I want to give you just a few examples. There's not much application. All I'm doing today is really showing you that this is a symptom of the evil rich and what it is. So there's a few examples. Four examples. Examples of condemning the righteous for reward. Examples of injustice around us, so that we see very clearly that we don't live in a little bubble thinking, we live in Northern Ireland, it's a Christian country, our leaders are great, they're Christians. Waken up. See if you think that. Waken up, please. You're not living in 1950 anymore. Let me give you two biblical examples, then we'll look at two examples from our society. Number one, the supreme example of injustice, condemning the innocent, the righteous for reward. The supreme example, of course, is the condemnation of the righteous one in Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, by Pilate and the Jews. Now yes, of course, all this was planned by God. Yes. It had to happen. We know that. It was God's will. But listen. But woe to him by whom the transgression comes. Pilate knew, as did Judas, that Christ was totally innocent, righteous. But Pilate then washed his hands and condemned the righteous one to death for the excuse, the elusive reward of Jewish favor. It eluded him, and he never really got Jewish favor, Pilate. Even Judas said, when he went back to the priests, I have condemned the innocent blood. Injustice in a legal system, condemning the righteous for reward. And then another example, number two, you can think of Naboth. Naboth, the ordinary man, the ordinary farmer, with his own vineyard. It's been in his family for generations. King Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard. But Naboth doesn't want to sell his vineyard to anybody, never named the king. It doesn't matter who it is, he doesn't want to sell it. He doesn't want to sell his family's inheritance for money. So Ahab pouts like a baby, literally. He won't eat his food. He lies in his bed and turns to face the wall and pouts. He's a baby. But Queen Jezebel hatches a plot, doesn't she? And she gets false witnesses. Men of Belial, probably perverts, to testify falsely that Naboth blasphemed God. Imagine Jezebel bringing that accusation. She who worships Baal and Ashtaroth publicly. Now she's accusing Naboth of blaspheming Jehovah. And there's a court case. There's the show of legality, the sham, the evil framed by law, isn't it? The pretended to act legally, and righteous Naboth is condemned and stoned to death so that the evil rich could steal his vineyard. That's example number two. You have condemned and killed the just. But it doesn't just happen in Bible times. The third example of injustice and judgment is very current. The third example of the evil rich in this area are the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland. A bunch of plonkers in suits who care nothing about equality at all. It should actually be called the Gay Rights Commission of Northern Ireland, because that's the only rights they uphold. They tread on people. They tell people what they can think and say. And they tread on businesses. There is only one group of people on people's rights that the Equalities Commission really supports, the so-called gays. It is the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland that will spend hundreds of thousands of pounds this month, I believe, taking Asher's Bakery to court for not decorating a cake with propaganda. They never refused to bake the cake. They just wouldn't decorate it with sodomite propaganda in the exact same way as they wouldn't decorate a cake with Nazi propaganda. But you're allowed to discriminate against Nazis, but certainly not perverts. But we have the evil rich, brothers and sisters. We have the wickedness framed by law. And it will attempt to be enforced by the Equality Commission to condemn righteous people for having their own conscience in so-called Christian Northern Ireland. What a blasphemy even to say it. This country's not Christian, it never was, but it's certainly not now. Freedom of conscience? We're meant to live in a free country. Oh no, you don't, not anymore, not for a long time. The evil rich want to force businesses to advertise sexual perversion. That's the bottom line. They pretend to act legally. Well, they've got their wickedness framed by law. There's the pretense of legality. That's all it is. They got their wickedness framed by law, by Tony Blair, who professed to be a Christian, then by Gordon Brown, and now by David Cameron, who professes to be a Christian. That's how they got their legality, their wickedness framed by law. Wickedness framed by law will attempt to condemn God's people very soon. It is nothing but injustice. And the Prime Minister of our land is in support of a court case against Ashers. As a professed Christian, I find him an abomination. That's what he is. That man is a reprobate. I don't know about you, but I am so ashamed to be British. I am ashamed to be British. So ashamed that our country is in union with that. Some unionists need to open their wee sleepy eyes and get off the flags debate,
which is an irrelevance anyway.
What are you in union with? Your unionism has overridden your biblical morality and sense.
It's disgraceful. In union with a monster that is beginning to dictate like a tyrant, like a dictator, its authority upon people's conscience. That's the third example. Injustice in a legal system. You have condemned the just. It's a symptom of the evil rich. We've got to see who is evil rich. Let me come to a fourth example of injustice. Did you know that if you've got a high power job, that you get treated differently by the legal system than if you're a manual worker? Did you know that? That which used to happen during the dark ages is now happening in the UK, conveniently of course covered over by the judicial system and the politicians. Let me give you the example of medical doctors. Medical doctors are looked upon as the next thing to scientists, almost like God in our society. Very elevated. Medical doctors. Many of them seem to be above the law of the land. There's two laws in the United Kingdom. There's the law for the high and mighty, and then there's the law for the ordinary man and woman. And that's the truth, brethren. Because elevated position, people in that position are treated very differently by law than those that are common, like you and me. There's a case, I'll give you loads of cases, I'm not going to give you loads. There's a case of a doctor guilty of sexual assault upon his patient. Went to court, he was found guilty. Sexual assault, this medical doctor, this is recently. Guilty of sexual assault upon a woman who was his patient. He's found guilty. What does the judge give that medical doctor? 2 years suspended sentence. You know what that means? Suspended sentence means you don't go to jail. It's a suspended sentence for 2 years. If you're good for 2 years, after 2 years, you're totally free again. If you mess up within 2 years, you have to go to jail for 2 years. But if you be good for 2 years, you don't have to go to prison. And he's still practicing his medicine as long as he has a chaperone present when he's with women. That was the ruling of the judge. That's justice in the United Kingdom. Oh, that must be a very rare thing. Do you think so? You think the justice system that's just an exception, where they treat doctors as above the law? If I was to do that, or you, we'd be in jail. Do you know how many criminal doctors we have in the NHS? I love looking into these things, because you see the injustice of the judges of our land. It was headline news, which was hushed up very, very quickly. I had to work very hard to find this information. It was headline news on the 28th of December 2012 in the UK. Quote, 927 criminal doctors keep their jobs in surgery and hospital, end of quote. It also said in the article that only a fraction of the cases that actually happen ever get to court. So this is nothing compared to how much there really are. But the ones that got to court, there's 927 of the criminal doctors in the NHS that are surgeons and still working in hospitals. And they're all continuing to practice medicine, even though they were all found guilty in court of criminal behavior. And you should see some of the criminal behavior. Some of it's small. But a lot of it's not small at all. Drug dealing, assault, different things. Terrible. One of the doctors and his friend were in a pub one night getting drunk. And they got into a fight with another man. When the doctor and his friend put the man on the ground, the medical doctor proceeded to jump on the man's head. He was found guilty by the judge. You know what the judge did? The judge decided that the doctor was more valuable practicing medicine than he would be in prison. So he's still practicing medicine. Do you like a doctor like that? There's 927 like that at least. When asked about it, the judge declined to comment on the sentence. Yeah. That's not a surprise, sure it's not. What an injustice. What a perversion of justice. So-called British justice is perverse because it's different for the rich and the high and mighty than it is for you and me. A perversion of justice by the evil rich for the evil rich. No, they condemn the just. But the system is very unjust, and it's in favour of the rich and the high and mighty. There's no doubt about that. You can easily prove it. I've just given you some proof. I draw to a conclusion. The symptoms of the evil rich, the one we've looked at today, which is my only point, is injustice and judgment. We looked at what the words mean. We looked at what the teaching is, injustice against the righteous, condemning the righteous. We looked at some examples, four examples. The condemnation of Christ was unjust. Jezebel, unjust, the evil rich being unjust to take what they want. Another example is the Northern Ireland Equalities Commission. And the judges who let medical doctors, among others, off with horrendous crimes because they're doctors after all. The purpose of this list of symptoms of the evil rich in verses 4 to 6 in James 5, the purpose is in verses 7 and 8 to encourage the believers that the evil rich are going to get what they have coming to them. It's for our encouragement. You be patient, therefore, brethren. Behold the coming of the Lord. It's to build up the Christians to know that these people aren't getting off. Well, as Matthew Henry says, God will make inquisition concerning the evil rich. You see, brothers and sisters, in a few short years, Pilate, who was unjust for popularity, and Jezebel, who was unjust for land, they both died. They've been dead now between 2,000 and 3,000 years almost, woman. And then they were called to account by God for their injustice. And it'll not be too long before the Equality Commission of Northern Ireland and everybody on it who are unjust because they love perverts. And it'll not be long before the British judicial system and everybody in it who love the upper classes because they're upper classes. In a few short years, they'll all be dead
and God will make inquisition into all their judgments, into everyone that they have condemned. And then we'll see who's the smart aleck, won't we? Framed wickedness by law, pretending to act legally. What a day. What a day of reckoning it will be. Very serious, isn't it? Here's what God says about the evil rich. I'm not coming back to it. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, look, the hire of the labourers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not set himself in battle array against you. Who is the evil rich? The best example I can think of in our day are the British government. That's who the evil rich are in our day. Have you any application, Pastor? Well, three bullet points. Number one, pray against injustice. Number two, don't prefer rich people to anybody else, according to James 2. It's they that draw you before courts and so on. It's not to be preferment for the rich. And thirdly, love justice. Because justice is God's throne. We as believers must love true justice. In the moment we'll sing a psalm that says about justice being God's throne. But as I close, listen to John Calvin speaking about justice. He says this: the judgment seat of heaven is not subject to our laws. A mercy which impairs the judgment of God at the will of man is detestable, says Calvin. A mercy, a treating nicely, which impairs the judgment or justice of God on a thing at the will of man, just as man wants to, is detestable. Unjust laws. And last quote by Calvin, he says this: there is no justice where there is no obedience rendered to God. The only thing that is just is what God says is just. And there is no justice if it is not in obedience to God. Okay, amen. Thank you for your time. We're going to turn to our closing psalm. It's Psalm number 89, and we'll sing a few.